You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah!
Every hour gets a growl. Dodgers are the world champions. I made it back to L.A. early this morning. Well, not early this morning, about an hour and a half before the show. Totally geared up, totally blown away by the experience of being at Globe Life Field and being there for a World Series championship. An amazing run for this Dodgers team. If you go back and think, they were down 1-3 to the Braves, down 3-1, 1-3. Down 3-1 to the Braves and somehow rallied back. And at that point, picked up a head of steam and rolled right into the World Series. If you throw out that weird, weird Saturday night game, they could have closed it out Sunday night in the Kershaw start. Instead, it took one more game, Game 6 last night in Arlington, and the Dodgers punched their ticket to a seventh World Series championship and their first in 32 years.
And a lot of people to be happy for. I think the guy I'm the most happy for is Kershaw.
But, yeah, me
I mean,
too.
Dave Roberts has been through a lot. Justin Turner's been through a lot. It's just...
Hey, Kenley Jansen's been through a lot.
See ya!
Hey. Kenley has been a great Dodger. Whether you like the way he's throwing now or not, he has been a great Dodger.
I salute him for the work he's done. But do you think he'll ever throw another pitch for the Dodgers?
No, I think he is going to be traded.
Yeah, me too.
Somebody is going to want a closer, and they're going to trade for Kenley Jansen.
Have you, by the way, the Mookie Betts trade?
Yeah.
Has a have like the Red Sox, like the have-nots do this all the time. Like you know, whenever the Marlins had a swap meet sale, a fire sale. They got rid of Miguel Cabrera and Christian Yelich, but they're cheap. The Red Sox aren't traditionally cheap. Has a have ever traded a player as good as Mookie Betts?
Ever?
Would you have to go back to the Red Sox trading Babe Ruth?
It may be. I'll tell you what. You know, I thought that several times during the World Series as he was racking up stolen bases. As he was making unbelievable catches, all I could think was, we've got him for the next decade plus.
Yeah, 11
more
years.
He is an elite, elite player.
Or it might be 12 more, but that deal might start next year. I think he was already signed for this year. All right, let's go to KJ in L.A. Hey, KJ, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. My favorite Batman and Robin analytics sportscasters. How you doing today? Yeah,
excellent, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. The baseball analytics is compared to the MLB folks on the same page. Majorly flawed. And I think that MLB needs to take 150% charge of taking the delay on letting everybody know after the World Series why he even tested positive. And I think I would have came out. I would have broke all rules because it was funny because when you look at the ninth inning, the security guys that had all the masks, they didn't give none of the teams masks. They only gave teams the masks when they hit the field.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's a very American reaction to – it really, Mace, is a microcosm of what's happening in this country.
Sure.
In some states, you can – you know, there's people packed into bars and restaurants and nobody's wearing masks.
Right outside that ballpark. There were people not wearing masks in bars and restaurants.
So I think the price we pay for being Americans and giving the freedom of choices, we're going to have the worst coronavirus statistics of any country in the world. And that's just kind of in our DNA. Guys, people don't like to be told no. People don't like to be told you have to wear a mask.
Although, can I just say something for Major League Baseball, John? After those outbreaks with St. Louis and Miami early in the year, Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball players across the league deserve all kinds of credit for being very disciplined, for keeping their own little bubbles home to ballpark and ballpark to home. And everybody did such a good job. It's weird that it came to this.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you're right. They do deserve credit, but doesn't Turner deserve criticism for doing the opposite?
You know what? I understand what that first responder was saying, that role modeling is really important for players. And if you're watching and you see players without masks, maybe you're less likely to wear. I just think it's an extraordinary circumstance.
Right. You see players without masks. You see a player who tested positive for the virus without a mask.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are extraordinary circumstances, and I wanted JT on the field for that celebration.
Yeah, I would have done, if I was Major League Baseball, I would have done everything humanly possible to keep him off the field.
You would have handcuffed Justin Turner.
I would have physically restrained him, yeah. Well, let's put it this way. You flew this morning, right?
Yeah.
If you're Delta and you know one of the passengers, if Justin Turner, just surprisingly showed up for that flight, wouldn't Delta physically restrain him from getting on that plane?
Okay, but here's the difference, John. The difference is, if I'm on that plane, I don't know anybody. I haven't. Those people are complete strangers to me. If I had celebrated with all those people before the flight, then we all would have. The contact tracing will be very easy on this Justin Turner
thing. I think
it
just makes a difference when you know you're positive and you make the choice to do that anyway. But we'll see. I haven't heard yet if the Dodgers have received their test results from today. Maybe they're all negative and they're all flying home. Here's Manny in L.A. Hey, Manny, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Manny?
What's going on? You know, I'm super happy. Lakers, Dodgers, you know, reminiscent of 1988. We're doing it all over again. And the Dodgers' victory is just 32 times more sweeter because they had to make us wait so long. Right, guys?
Yeah, they did.
Here's my thing. It's just a bittersweet moment because you have on one side the Dodgers celebrating – and then on one other side, Justin Turner getting the news, getting pulled in the seventh. And like you said, nobody knew what was going on. So we were all clueless after the game broke and they won the championship. Then you start finding out he was tested positive. It's almost a lose-lose situation for JT because it's darned if he did. He goes out there and now you have the whole Twitter media burning him up. And darned if he didn't because it's once in a lifetime. I got to support JT on this. I know it was a bad call. It's a bad look for the time we're living in, but JT was out there with his guys, and MLB really should have stepped up to the plate. And if anyone's pointing fingers, I'm pointing it at Rob Manfred. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks very much. Let's not let the Justin Turner thing ruin the buzz, man. We just won a world championship for the first time in 32 years. Let's not obscure that with this Justin Turner story.
Here's Ray in Riverside. Hey, Ray, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Ray?
Not much, man. I'm excited. So I'm glad the Dodgers won the World Series. You know, I vaguely remember in 88, I was 8 years old at the time, watching with my pops, you know, them winning it there. You know, been to countless playoff games, and I was at game 3 of the 2018 World Series that went 18 innings, and, you know, for us to lose that series, and of course against the Astros, but winning it now, man, makes 2020, you know, well worth it as far as, you know, kind of getting over what everyone's been going through. But you know, I'm just excited, you know, excited for the family. Was able to watch it with my pops and my family again this time around. And, you know, with Justin Turner, you know, I get it, you know. Emotions took over, and, you know, I would have done the same thing. You know, he's been around the guys all week, all day, all game, you know. And I can see why, you know, from the outside looking in, that he should have been wearing a mask or shouldn't have been out there. But, you know, I would have done the same thing. And, you know, I'm just excited that we took it all.
Yep.
And, you know, for the most part, I've probably fired Dave Roberts like 100 times already, but, you know, got to give the guy his respect. And, you know, he's our manager for as long as we can keep him.
You know, I'm good. Thanks for that phone call, Ray. Mace, I do think he's right about Dave Roberts. I think this now. Okay. So Roberts has won the division every year. He's been the Dodger manager.
Yep.
And now he's won the title. Are we still going to get people calling for his head?
Yeah, we are.
Well, I mean, it's idiotic.
It was idiotic before the World Series. It was idiotic before we saw this this championship.
By the way, Roberts, you – okay, so going back to what we were talking about at the very start of the show. analytics is a tool. If you come out and say you don't believe in analytics, you're stupid because they can help you. But it's also just a tool. It is not a hard, fast gospel rule. What you saw last night was two managers treating analytics differently. Kevin Cash said, we don't believe that our pitcher should go the third time through the lineup. It's a core belief. We completely ignoring that Blake Snell was destroying the top of the Dodger lineup. The top of the Dodger lineup, those three guys were Betts, Seager, and Turner were 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts. Kevin Cash and the Rays completely ignored that and said, we're married to this core principle.
Yes.
Dave Roberts had probably heard, look, Julio Urias isn't a reliever. We shouldn't have him go more than one inning. We've got Blake Treinen and Kenley Jansen and traditional closers available. Roberts said, screw it. He looks great. I'm sticking with him. So there was that was an interesting contrast. One manager married to analytics, refusing to be flexible. The other one saying, yeah, I could take him out, but he looks great. I'll leave him in.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Is it possible that this was the Dodgers' plan all along? Was the plan to use Urias at the end of the game formulated beforehand? Because I'm sure it was in NLCS game number 7.
Yeah, I think it depended how the game played out. For example, if the game was tied or if the Dodgers were down by one, does Julio get the ball in the 7th? See, you don't know.
He pitched 7, 8, 9 in game 7.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing about the game last night. I believe, I'd have to look it up, but I believe that Urias threw more innings than any Dodger pitcher last night. And I think
Wood threw two, you're right. Urias threw two and a third, yeah.
Did Hernandez get the win?
Who got the win last night?
Yeah.
Who was pitching the fifth? Was it Baez?
No, Hernandez. He got the win. I think he only pitched 2/3 of an inning.
Yeah, Hernandez with the win and Urias with the save.
Yeah, and then Gratterall got the hold. I think Hernandez got the win.
Yeah.
Gratterall got the hold, and Urias got saved. So it was a weird game. Urias pitched more innings than any other Dodger pitcher last night, including Gonsolin.
Do you think
so? They handled that brilliantly.
Do you think Brisdor Gratterall is the closer of the future?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think maybe too.
He throws 100 miles an hour. Like you point out a lot, he pitches to contact, which isn't great for a closer, but 102 is 102, you know?
Yeah, so, 102 is...
I wouldn't be shocked next year if Treinen closed.
Yeah, Treinen's possibility, although he's on a one-year deal, they'll have to re-sign him.
Yeah. What do you do with Joe Kelly? You know, there's a couple of...
Joe Kelly's contract is up. He had a two-year deal, so he's up. So, yeah, we're going to see it all reconfigured. But like Dan Schulman said a little while ago, and as Vegas says, we are the favorites to win a second world championship, or the 8th, second in 2 years, back-to-back next year as we go to the 2021 season. I just think, you know, I think about all these guys who've been part of this. I think about, you know, Clayton Kershaw. I think, you know, Kenley Jansen had to feel slighted to some degree. By not being called upon last night.
Yeah,
and by essentially losing his job in the middle of the playoffs.
I don't think you can feel slighted because it's a performance-based business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, but I'm saying Kenley Jansen himself has to feel somewhat dejected only because they worked around him in the final game and really in the final couple games. But I still feel really good for him that he got a world championship. Right. I feel really good for him that he got a ring. He's coming a great guy.
Coming up next, more of your phone calls, and still coming in this hour, Ned Coletti and Mark Teixeira.
Excellent. We got everybody, including all you guys on the phones, 877-710-ESPN. The Dodgers, in case you missed it, are the world champions. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Woo-hoo! 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. John, you know what I like to do? Because I'm learning Spanish from Jorge, I like to play the Spanish language calls of the big moments from the game.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I think I said earlier that Hernandez got the win. I meant Gonzalez. I confused my Spanish. Victor Gonzalez is the guy who got the win for the Dodgers last night. The hold went to Gratterall and the save went to Urias.
Yes. All right, so this is Rolando Nichols and Adrian Garcia Marquez, Fox Deportes, on the Mookie home run.
Listo Fairbanks, los Dodgers quieren más. Batazo elevado, grande, difícil, complicado, imposible. Se acaba de ir para allá, para allá, para donde trotan los caballos, Mookie Betts. 3-1, los Dodgers. Se encaminan a lo que podría ser el séptimo campeonato de Serie Mundial.
107 millas por cuetazo. 108 costuras se fueron a volar. Cortesía del Chamuki.
Okay, so Jorge, translate a little bit there.
Okay, so they're saying that Mookie hit it out of the park, obviously, and then Adrian says that's 107 miles per hour off the bat and 138 stitches out into the stands.
Nice. Nice touch. All right, and here is the final call of the game from Fox Deportes, Rolando Nichols and Adrian Garcia Marquez.
Julio Urias, Dodgers al 100.
Viene Julio hacia el home. Los Dodgers son campeones. Los Dodgers son campeones de la Serie Mundial. Urias entró valiente, cerró el juego y ganan la Serie Mundial del 2020. Los Dodgers de Los Ángeles. Esta imagen le dice mucho más que mil palabras.
And you know Los Angeles, John. Victor Gonzalez, Mexican.
Yes.
Right.
And Julio Urias, Mexican.
See? Yeah.
There were a lot of Mexican flags at
Jorge, what did Globe Life Field they say on that call?
On that call, they're basically calling, you know, that's final strike. And he's like, you know, they're the world champions. And let me just tell you, I can't, you know, that image is worth more than 1,000 words. I can't tell you what that image is worth. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they just leave it at that. And then
nice.
Right. Let's squeeze a couple of calls in here. Here's Kevin in Manhattan Beach, the great city of Manhattan Beach. Hi, Kevin. You're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
The Mason curse, it's lifted.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Finally put that thing to bed, thank God.
Thank you. But, hey, I just wanted to give a big shout-out because you guys have been our therapists over the past decade. You know, I mean, we've been through so many downs. You know, question the bullpens and everything, and you guys touched about it last time, but just got to give such a big shout-out. I mean, honestly, you can give the MVP award to our bullpen. I mean, after the second inning, they 12 strikeouts, 2 hits, no walks. And with Randy Arozarena up to bat in the second inning with 2 guys on, Dylan Flores goes in there, 3 strikes, freaking gets him out. Alex Wood, Baez, who we've been through so much, goes in there. Good. I mean, everyone. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And through all the downs we've been, it's just such a great day to have you guys and just enjoy this moment, man. Hopefully this Mason curse lifted off us, gets us another World Series next year.
Yes, let's get another one.
Thank you, Kevin. And by the way, he brought up a great moment. How about Dylan Floro
versus Arozarena
and getting him on 3 pitches? He struck him out on 3 pitches. It's like, I don't care that this guy's hitting 500, and he literally just went right at him and struck him out like it was nothing. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a big, big move right there. He only faced one batter, but it was Arozarena and got him out.
Here's Mike in Chino. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. He's gone. All right, Rich in Santa Clarita. Hey, Rich, you're on 710 ESPN.
What's going on?
What's going on, Rich?
Hey, I got a question for you. Do you know if Justin Turner gave his permission for MLB to announce that he was positive? Because I think there's a HEPA law.
That's a very interesting question.
It is an interesting point.
I think, Rich, I think that when you're in the players' union, that that all gets collectively bargained.
Right.
In other words, that the players' union had a deal with Major League Baseball saying, all right, here's what happens if someone tests positive. We'll announce it to the public. That player will be quarantined immediately. And then Turner violated, according to the MLB statement today, Turner violated the rule when he went back on the field. That was all JT saying, I want to be a part of this, and he went back out there.
But, yeah, I think that might be a little different from the other sports. But the other thing about him coming out,
yep.
Does it really matter? Because, you know, he's practicing with the guys. He's
yep.
in the dugout. He's, you know, he's in the locker room, so...
Well, you're right, Rich. It doesn't matter to the other players who had already been contact traced to him, but there were people out there. There were family members and photographers and Major League Baseball officials who had not been exposed to Turner until that point. That's why this gets dicey. But the reason why we're talking about it is because that's a microcosm of what's going on in America. For whatever reason, right. in our country, we don't take the virus as seriously as they do in other countries, and Turner showed that last night. And so, if guys...
This was an extraordinary exception,
right,
John. You only win the World Series maybe once in your entire life and you want
totally
to be part
get
of it.
I totally get it. You're, Mace, you're saying that you would have done what Turner did, and I
yep.
think that is the American spirit. That is the American way to do it. I thought he was incredibly irresponsible, and Major League Baseball let him do it, so I guess because I'm an American, I got to say... Half the country's going to ignore this COVID thing, and I've got to manage it. So there you go.
Go to line six. This guy was at two of the games at Globe Life Field.
Juan on line six. Hey, Juan, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Juan.
Hey, so excited, man. It was amazing. An amazing experience.
Which games were you at?
I got you on Saturday. I saw... Game four, I see in the Texas Live, the bar that's next to the stadium. Then I see
yep.
Game five.
Four and five, yeah.
Kershaw pitch.
Four, you saw one of the craziest finishes ever of,
yeah,
of a game.
Yeah, game four,
I can
even
the
though
playoffs.
The Dodgers lost, game four was the most memorable game of the series because it
was
just so
sad.
Dramatic.
Yeah, that was a weird, weird finish. But congratulations, man. I'm glad you made it down there. Did you buy tickets? How much did you pay for tickets?
We bought... tickets roughly around $1,200 each.
$1,200 each?
Yeah, it was worth
wow.
it.
Wow, that's more than I thought.
Yeah, but you'll remember it forever.
Yeah, there it is
go.
Worth
yeah.
it, man. It is worth it.
Well,
thank
yes,
you very
Mace.
Much for calling, man.
All right, thanks, man, for the phone call. Hey, Mace, here's some breaking news before
yep.
we get to Ned Coletti. Michael Duarte, who's a reporter for NBC LA, just tweeted, I'm told that after getting tested last night and again on Wednesday morning, members of the Dodgers traveling party that have been cleared are en route back to L.A. right now. So at least some of the Dodger players and staff are on their way back to L.A.
Okay, so some people have tested clean.
Anybody who tested negative
right.
is on their way back.
And but we should mention, too, according to Justin Turner on Twitter, he is asymptomatic.
Yep.
So he's not showing any symptoms at all. All right, coming up next for you. Ned Coletti is going to join us, former general manager and responsible, by the way, for a bunch of the talent we saw on the field winning the World Series last night. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah! Dodgers are world champions! Mesa and Ireland show, what is up? Last night, magic down in Arlington, Texas. I got to be part of it, flew back early this morning. It was the trip of a lifetime for me. I've been waiting for this, and I was so glad to be able to be there. And one of the unsung heroes of this Dodgers organization is a guy who drafted Clayton Kershaw, Corey Seager, and Cody Bellinger. He also signed Justin Turner as a minor leaguer. Former Dodgers general manager Ned Coletti's online. Ned, how are you, man?
How are we looking today, boys?
Couldn't look any better, Ned. And your fingerprints are all over this, so congratulations to you. I'd like to. I'm sure there are a lot of, and there were a lot of fun memories going through your head last night. Go back to the year you drafted Kershaw. If I remember correctly, that was your first draft, right?
Yes, and the two starts before the draft, we had him in mind. He was the first high school pitcher player taken that year, but we had him in mind. We didn't know if he was going to get to us, and then he had a five-inning perfect game, no-hitter, where he struck everybody out.
Oh.
And I was thinking, why would he have to look this good? But he did end up falling to us. It's a great way to start a career in a new city by drafting a guy of that not only talent but character and who he is.
Question I was going to ask about that, Mace, was, so, Ned, that was the guy you were targeting. I always think it's fun to look back at those drafts and think, were you going to take somebody else and he went before Kershaw, or you had Kershaw circled from the get-go?
Well, he was the guy that everybody wanted in the organization. People had seen him, people had watched video, people had had conversations, and he was the guy. I don't want to tell you who would have been next had he gone, but we also caught a little bit of a break because it was my last year in San Francisco. The Dodgers had drafted Luke Hochaver with their first-round pick.
Sure.
And couldn't sign him. So he went back into the draft, and he was drafted number one overall. So what that, in essence, did is it pushed everybody back one. So that really allowed us. Detroit went right before us, I think. I think they took Andrew Miller. And in talking to the Detroit people who I've known for decades, they said, if Hochaver isn't in the part of this draft, we're probably going to take Hochaver because Miller's probably going to be we're probably going to take Kershaw because – we're going to have Miller gone. So the Hochaver, the miss on Hochaver with letting him go back to the college or wherever he ended up going back to for that 1 year proved to be a key component to the way the draft fell.
Yeah. So Justin Turner was a utility guy with the New York Mets, and you acquired him, and he has become really the heart and soul of this run all the way to last night's World Series championship. What did you see in Justin Turner?
And Ned, that was a minor league deal, was it not?
Yeah, it was a touch complicated, and I give him a lot of credit for believing in himself. If we go back to the season before, the 2013 season, I had four really good, what you would call the extra players. I had Jerry Harrison Jr., who I do TV with now and have a great time with, Nick Punto, Skip Schumacher, and we acquired Michael Young from Philly right at the deadline.
Yep.
Young and Jay Herrett were going to go home. The other two guys were looking for two-year deals. I wished them well. They got two-year deals. So I was really kind of looking to rebuild that part of the club. And I had liked JT for a while, especially the offense. The defense I thought was average. Could play second base, could play some third base, and could stand at shortstop for a minute. And so we waited. He was non-tendered, and I knew, that's kind of a raw moment for an athlete. So we had to stay back for a little while. Talked to his agent and mentioned to him that, hey, we would have interest after he got his mind sorted out. Started having conversations with the agent. And then Timmy Wallach went to an alumni game at Fullerton and ran into him. And called me back and said, hey, there's a guy here I think could help us. And, I always talked to the manager. I always talked, in this case, Don Mattingly, and let him know what we were thinking because I would never want to put somebody in a room the manager didn't want. But I didn't spread it around the entire coaching staff or organization. And so it kind of met with what we were thinking. So Timmy gave me a heads up that he had interest in it. And then I'm walking down the hall one day. And this is how crazy life can be when you never know what's going to happen. I'm walking down the hall one day, and I run into somebody in the promotions department named Kat Belanger. She walks in, and she goes, hey, I hear that you're trying to sign my girlfriend's best, my best friend's boyfriend. I said, who's that? She says, Justin Turner. I said, yeah, I am. I said, let's get him, tell him let's get a move on here. Let's figure this thing out, right? So I'm pushing her a little bit to push the future
great.
Mrs. Turner. And so, we have little conversations here and there, still respectful of the agent and all of that stuff. And so one thing leads to another, and we end up signing him to a major league deal.
Oh, that's okay. A great story, Ned.
But he also...
Go ahead.
The knee, we did the physical. The knee didn't look good. Needed surgery 16 months later. We had to change it to a minor league deal. and he bet on himself, and he took the deal, and off he went.
Ned, let me ask you about the game last night. Mason and I argue a lot about the role of analytics in baseball. I'm more of a feel guy. He's more of an analytics guy, but neither one of us think that you should marry yourself to either one. Were the Rays, whether it was Kevin Cash or the front office, were they a little guilty of marrying themselves to analytics by not letting Snell stay in the game last night?
I would say yes. Not knowing conversation, I say it from a distance, and I say it respectfully, but I think it was a turning point in the game. It's rare that a turning point in the game isn't a pitch, isn't a hit, isn't a defensive play. When you have somebody pitching as dominantly as Snell was, and I think the first four hitters in the Dodgers lineup, the first eight at-bats that they had, two each, I think they struck out seven times.
Yeah.
And we know how good those guys are. I mean, you're talking about maybe the best front first four in any game. And when you take somebody out of a game like that, the bench goes, really? Now we got it. Now we've got a chance. Everybody lights up. I can guarantee you that's what happened. And I think you put pressure on the next relief pitcher for Tampa because he's coming in to replace somebody that has been as perfect as you could really be. And that bench knows it too. And I think when you get married to either side, you know, you're asking for stuff like that to happen, in my opinion. Balance is the best part of life. And you've got to be able to balance it. And sometimes, you know what? You got to watch the game, and you got to watch the stuff that somebody has. And you can tell he didn't want to come out. It wasn't like he was looking at the dugout saying, "Hey, you know, I've had enough. I've given you all I got." That wasn't on his mind. And he knew his best chance to get to play today was to win that game himself if he had to, from a pitching standpoint. So I think it was huge for the Dodgers. Without even throwing a pitch, that move changed the game.
Ned Coletti is with us, former Dodgers general manager. The day after the Dodgers win the World Series, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Do you think baseball has gone too far on analytics with the shifts and this decision, for example, not facing the lineup for a third time? Has it gone too far?
I think it has gone too far. I think for a long time there wasn't enough analytics, and you know, I'm known as an old school scout type of guy, but I developed the first analytics problem in Chicago with the Cubs, you know, 30 some years ago. Archaic, certainly archaic by today's standards, but I've always had huge respect for it. And I developed it really out of Earl Weaver, who managed Baltimore. One of his main coaches, Jimmy Fry, was my boss in Chicago. And so he said, let's do this. So even back into the 70s, these things were used to some extent. But I think it's gone the other way. And I think, again, it'll come back at some point in time. I think the best teams use every piece of information they have, the character, the stamina, the endurance, what they see, and also what they can see on a piece of paper. I think the best teams are the ones that are doing that. Theo Epstein didn't win all his championships by being just one way. Andrew Knau, a championship president of baseball ops, certainly didn't just do it one way. So I think that is a key, finding that strike of balance in order to be covered on each side. Hey, whenever anybody leads, you can need as much information as possible. What you do with it is up to you as a leader. But you can never shut down information and just do one thing one way all the time, especially when you got a sport played by humans.
Ned, last thing for me. You were a part of this Dodgers organization for a long time, and you still are doing the TV. Who were you happiest for when this broke? Maybe we've already talked about it. Maybe it was Kershaw or Turner. But when they won last night, who came to mind in your head?
Clayton first, Kenley second, JT third. And then the kids after that. I call them kids. They've been playing a while now. Seager and Bellinger and Jock. And, you know, even Gonzalez. Julio and Gonzalez were signed on the same trip in 2012. 2012 was a pretty good year. We drafted Amen. Seager, signed Puig, and then signed Urias and Gonzalez. Not a bad 3 months with new ownership.
Not bad at all. Well, listen, Ned, we appreciate you coming on. You, as John said, your fingerprints are all over this. Congratulations to you, all the work you did, all the groundwork that you laid for this world championship. And we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for us. Congratulations, man.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor to be a part of the organization. Love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ned. Have a great day.
There's Ned Coletti. All right, coming up next for you is Tex. Mark Teixeira is going to join us. Mason in Ireland, as we continue to celebrate the Dodgers' first world championship in 32 years. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. We got that chip. We got that world championship last night down in Arlington, Texas. And want to hear a crazy number before we get to Mark Teixeira?
Yeah.
Dodgers finished with a 2.19 run differential in the playoffs. That's the best run differential since the 1939 Yankees.
Well, speaking...
The 39 Yankees were pretty good.
Well, speaking of the Yankees, Mark Teixeira won his world championship when he was playing first base for the Yankees in New York. Now he works for us at ESPN and is nice enough to join us now. Hi, Tex. Thanks for coming on.
What's going on, guys? Congrats on a big win.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so, Mark, you're the only one on the call right now who's ever won one of these things. What's it like? I mean, you guys, the year you won it, you were expected to win it. Most people thought you had the best team, like the Dodgers. You had the best. So is it – relief? Is it pure exhilaration? Or the when you make that last out and you've got your first world championship, what's it feel like?
That's a great question. At the moment, it's relief. You start really appreciating it later in the year. Once these guys, get some sleep and get to rest a little bit, they'll start appreciating it. And, 11 years later, like I am right now, I appreciate it more now than I did then. So it's relief now, because when you're expected to win, when you go through those close calls, I mean, it was a close call against the Braves there, down 3-1 and what it took to get back there, and then facing a really pesky Rays team, it was never a guarantee that you're going to win that championship. So a lot of relief, but there's smiles on the faces of all those guys, which is really cool to see.
Mark Teixeira is with us from ESPN, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let's go to the bottom of the sixth. Blake Snell, the pitcher, leaves a runner on, not allowed to face Mookie Betts for a third time. Nick Anderson relieves, and it doesn't go well from there. What do you think of Kevin Cash's decision, and is it too driven by analytics?
Well, I was sitting there at the ESPN studios in Bristol with my buddies Carl Ravitch and Tim Kirchen and our whole crew from Baseball Tonight, and as soon as Kevin Cash jumped out of the dugout, I jumped out of my seat and screamed no. I said,
wow.
What are you doing? And listen, I get the numbers. I understand the analytics say that Blake Snell had not performed well the third time through the lineup during the season. But this was a different Blake Snell. The guy that we saw last night was throwing 97-98, hitting his spots. This really good Dodgers team looked like they had no chance against him, right? So I think at that point in time, after 73 pitches, you have to throw the analytics out, because Blake Snell had not been sharp this season. He had a good season, not a great season. Had not been great in the playoffs up to this point. Location was off. He was walking a lot of guys, allowing a lot of base runners. But we saw a different Blake Snell last night, and it's just it's too bad that analytics kind of took over that decision. Kevin Cash is doing what his front office and what his analytics team is telling him to do. This is not Kevin Cash's fault. It's what was the plan before the game even started. Once we get to the third time through the lineup, we're bringing in the relievers.
We're talking to Mark Teixeira from ESPN. The Dodgers are the world champions. You're listening to 710 ESPN. Tex, I think, we live in a unique market in that we get to watch Mike Trout play all of his games on TV in our market, and now we get Mookie. And I think when you consider all of the things that Betts does, from his defense to his base running to the way he hits with power, I think he might be the most impactful player in the league today. And I say that knowing that Trout's in my market, but Trout, for whatever reason, can't get to the postseason when it matters. So I think that puts Betts at the front of the line. Am I overrating Betts?
I think you can overrate Betts sometimes. I don't think this is an instance where you overrate him. But I think you're underrating Mike Trout. I think that's the issue. I think Mookie Betts deserves every accolade he gets. This guy was the difference maker, and he does everything well. But from a impacting the game standpoint, a guy that can completely take over a game, a guy who, you know, you don't even want to pitch to in any type of situation where he can beat you, that's Mike Trout. So
right.
If Mike Trout was on the Dodgers the last 4 years, the Dodgers would have two or three World Series.
He's that good, yeah.
If Mookie Betts was on the Dodgers the last 4 years, they might also have two. So I think you can give Mookie Betts his props, but not at the expense of saying that Mike Trout isn't as impactful, because if you ask every executive in baseball, if they were starting a team today for the next 5 years, who they would draft first overall, it would be Mike Trout.
Okay.
And that's just the way it is, because he's Barry Bonds in his prime. He just happens to be on a team that doesn't get to the playoffs because they can't pitch.
Interesting.
Mark Teixeira is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So one of the interesting dynamics around this team is the way Dave Roberts over the years has been criticized here in Los Angeles for the way he has pushed buttons in the bullpen. And last night was just perfectly managed in every way. Every move turned out to be right. Talk about Dave Roberts and the job he's done as manager of the Dodgers, not just this year, winning, but in previous years too.
Well, first of all, I'm so happy for Dave Roberts because, you know, we talk about that relief. Man, that is a win that Dave Roberts really needed, and he deserves to have this championship. I think that managers, by and large, get way too much credit or blame for in-game decisions. I think managers make their money. I think managers are impactful for a team for what they do inside the clubhouse, getting the most out of their players. Because the fact of the matter is you can have any Tom, Dick, or Harry off the street decide to put in Dylan Floro or, you know, Julio Urias. It's up to Floro or Urias to get the job done.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have hindsight 2020 every time we look at these managers' decisions. But the fact of the matter is the players are the ones that go out there and either get it done or don't. Now, I'm not saying that Dave Roberts has been perfect in the last, you know, four postseasons. He hasn't been. But no manager is perfect. And sometimes you just got to go out there and hope that your players get the job done. And this Dodgers team was the best team in baseball. And so when Dave Roberts can press all the buttons he wants, but the Dodgers won because they were the best team in baseball, and Dave Roberts, you know, allowed his team to go out there and get the job done.
Tex, last thing from me. You live in New York, and of course you won a title with the Yankees, and I think when we had John early in the season, Mason and I were all gung-ho that it was going to be Dodgers-Yankees in the World Series. The Yankees lost to the Rays. It was close, but in your opinion, why didn't the Yankees end up in the World Series? Were they just a victim of a close series loss to Tampa? Was it the injuries, or is there a hole in that team?
There's two things. So you're right on both of them. Number one, the injuries really did hurt, because if I go into the playoffs with Gerrit Cole as my number one, Luis Severino is my number two, James Paxton is my three, and Masahiro Tanaka is my four, man, I'm feeling really good about that team. Only one of those guys was healthy at the end of the season. Severino was hurt in spring training, Tommy John. Paxton barely pitched at all this year, was hurt all season. And Tanaka was having some arm fatigue and some issues at the end of the season. His last three starts were awful. So the injuries did hurt the Yankees. But I think the other hole on that team is they are really right-handed. And I look at a Dodgers team, if I was a pitching coach or a pitcher, how do I navigate that lineup? You know, right, left, right, left, left, right, left. And yep. Then you can come off the bench with guys. I mean, you got A.J. Pollock and Jock Peterson as a platoon. You kidding me? That's an embarrassment of riches. And one of the reasons is because they can beat you from the right and left side. The Yankees are a really right-handed team right now. All of their best players are right-handed. Last year in the postseason, you had Brett Gardner hitting third. This year, you had Aaron Hicks hitting third. And that's not disparaging those two guys because they're good players. But they're not, you know, all-stars that should be hitting third on a world champion caliber team.
Yeah.
So I think the Yankees, they do need to go out there and get a few starting pitchers, bolster that rotation, and get a left-handed bat to balance out that lineup.
Well, Tex, listen, we appreciate you joining the party here in L.A.
Thank you, Mark.
It's always fun, guys. Enjoy this offseason. And, you know, it's been 32 years, and I don't think it's gonna take that long for the next one in Dodger Town.
Awesome. I love the way you're thinking, man. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
See ya.
There's Mark Teixeira.
Right. We'll get back to the phones. 877-710-3776. 877-710-ESPN. Still to come in our final hour, Jerry Hairston. You heard Nick Whitty talking about him. Jay Hair will join us, and a lot of your reaction to everything, to the Dodgers winning it, to the Blake Snell decision, to Justin Turner after the game, to how it looks for next year. Mace, you mentioned some of those free agents. Who should they try and keep?
Yeah.
Like, Jock Peterson's a free agent.
Kike
Hernandez is a free agent.
Yeah, valuable guys.
Lots to get into.
All right, more of your calls coming up next. Again, it is a celebration today. The Dodgers finally have gotten off the schneid. They are the world champions. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.